And you can tell by that ominous music that Brooklyn Zed, a.k.a. Zed13, and myself, Josh Wiggler, we have arrived at the Final Fantasy VII family reunion. It's Sephiroth's weird cousin is in the corner, Zed. I believe that's Betharoth.
Except that nobody quite makes it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. You kind of make it, and then you, like, fall off a cliff.
Yeah, they get
very
so close.
Weird, weird winding passages, as when we last left off, Sephiroth had done something so bad that I'm still not going to quite say it until I let you know that we're going to spoil the biggest part of Final Fantasy VII. We spent a decent amount of last podcast talking about it, but maybe wandered into this one by mistake, so I'm giving you that spoiler buffer. You should get out now. Get out now. This is the start of this, too. Get out of here. I'm going to tell you the thing. This is the thing. He killed her. He killed Aeris. Zed. Aeris is dead. And Sephiroth killed her. And Sephiroth is like, go meet me up north. If you're feeling some kind of way about this, bro, meet me up north. And so that's what we're doing for the rest of this podcast. We're going north. We're going to meet Sephiroth. And ooh, maybe we should have stayed.
Yeah. A lot of things have happened having gone north past the snowfields, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
As it is snowing right now where we are.
It is snowing as of this recording. As of this recording, in fact, we're recording this about a day after the part 5 podcast dropped. I think that we are going to just be like, Zed, you're unlocked. Like, we're going to record podcasts as you reach the checkpoints, much like if you were climbing the mountain and you needed to warm up by one of those flags.
Jumping up and down.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because people are like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, we'll get there. What is it? Mount Gigas or something like that?
Gaia, I think.
Mount Gaia. Yeah. So we'll get into that. We're recording these as you finish the checkpoints, Zed. I believe this is the first podcast I am recording in which I am saying and sharing this news. But folks, I got a new job. I have a new job. I'm the TV and movies editor at Inverse.com. Really, really cool outlet. And I am going to be starting that in a couple of weeks. So right now has been like, all right, let's like bank a bunch of podcasts so I don't have a panic attack on my first week at the job of how do I do all of this. The podcasts are kosher. I'm definitely still podcasting. That's not changing. It's just like some work-life balance things that I got to work out between now, as of this recording, and the start of the podcast and of the new job, and then figuring out just the first few weeks on the job. It's like, what does this all look like? So we're binge recording, and I think one of the ways in which this podcast specifically will benefit from it, Zed, is that you just now get to crush Final Fantasy VII, and I think because of the pace, because like I would expect we're recording on a Sunday, Zed. I expect we're going to be like recording again on like a Thursday. You're going to get through disc 2 in like a week from now.
Oh, wow.
Would be my bet. And then you're not going to have much of an excuse. I'm going to make you do Chocobo side quests and stuff.
Okay.
Well, your reaction to that is why it has to happen, because it's going to be a really great podcast. We'll go through like your full journey and it'll be wonderful. And you'll get a very nice reward for it at the end of it. It'll be worth doing.
Uh-huh.
That's what's happening. That's where we're at.
I did try and catch a chocobo in this last section because I ran across some chocobo footprints and I thought maybe that meant I should try and get one because I had a long way to go to get where I was going.
Yeah.
I did half a dozen random encounters over the chocobo tracks. I did not attract a chocobo. I had the materia in. I was doing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
They didn't show up. I was like, all right, well, I've wasted enough time trying to get a thing that's just going to be annoying anyway. And I moved on, and like 30 feet to the right was where I needed to go anyway. So I'm glad that I did not spend any more time trying to get a chocobo at this point in time.
Some veteran advice for you, Zed, since I let you play as Aeris so much just to help preserve that surprise. Let me repay the favor and give you like a tip of like what you don't have to do. You can ignore all chocobo tracks until disc 3 when it is time to go on a sprawling chocobo adventure.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Okay.
You don't have to go anywhere near them. If you see tracks, go the other way.
There were some over by Wuchai, and I ignored those intentionally. I was like, absolutely not. I'm busy.
Well, what were you going to do? You weren't going to have...
I didn't have your materia. Yeah. What a place.
She stole our materia. She stole it all.
And yet, she's still with us.
Much
out.
Like Kate Sith. Think about that, right? Like, Yuffie stole our materia. She's still here. Kate Sith kidnapped Barrett's daughter and then blew up his first stuffed body to save the planet. And he's still here. And poor Eris is not. Doesn't feel fair.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, who could we have traded to keep Eris? I think we've listed some candidates. I know you would throw Sid down the river.
Under the bus immediately. Yeah.
Under the bus that under hit the airship. Palmer. Just as long as everyone agrees that Vincent stays, I'm good.
Yeah.
So let's get into this because a lot goes down. You know, we're kind of in like a good mood right now as we're talking things through, but we're a lot happier than the characters throughout the entire world of FF7. And I'm not just talking Avalanche, like even the Shinra by the end of this one is like, ooh,
things are not good.
This is all bad. Yeah. It's not great. Scary.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
This is a very chaotic chapter that we are talking about.
So there's like really one like very important, like major mandatory plot thing that goes down. There's a couple optional plot things that go down. I don't know how much you explored Icicle Inn, the snow town. Did you spend some time there?
Yeah, I wandered around. I picked up some stuff. I took a map off the wall. Like I yelled at for taking the map off the wall before asking if I could have it.
Did you watch some TV?
No, I did not. And when I just and I basically did this chapter without the walkthrough because I had moved on from the section of the walkthrough that I was at without knowing it. So I was like, I don't know where I am in this game or where this walkthrough thinks I'm going. And I was just looking at the walkthrough now to help jog my memory. And there's a screen cap with the dialogue, play the video, yes, no. And I never saw that. So I don't know what that video is.
Yeah, you can always go back at a certain point and check that stuff out. So I won't spoil it for you, but there's some cool bonus material, not materia, to check out. If you go back to Icicle Inn, basically the chapter that we're on right now, it begins. It's the start of disc two. So you've saved your game. Cloud has vowed to continue on. That like Eris is gone. This is horrible. He is very concerned that he himself might do something bad.
Imagine.
Turns out, maybe he was onto something. But he and his friends are going to keep going. They're going to keep pursuing Sephiroth North. So like. The first, you know, major chunk of this, Zed, is that, right? Like, you know, you leave the city of the ancients and you have to, like, climb some frosted stuff to get out.
Yeah. You head out of the city of the ancients and then you're just, like, in the snow. And you have to kind of figure out where you're going, following, like, the base of some mountains. You don't have your buggy. You don't have your tiny Bronco. It's just you on your feet running through the snow. Something I can relate to very much. until you finally ignore the chocobo tracks or don't, and then come upon this little snow village, German, you know, ski town looking place.
Yeah. So you climb a mountain. You get some materia. You end up on like a big snowy field. You see some chocobo tracks and get distracted if you're Brooklyn Zed. And then eventually you find yourself in a town called Icicle Inn, which is, yeah, just like, I don't know, it's like the Stratton of Final Fantasy VII. It's a Vermont ski resort. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, me and my yuppie friends spent some time in Stratton as kids. And this is Stratton. This is Jiminy Peak. This is, I don't know. Those are literally the only ski resorts that I can name off the top of my head. I don't have anything else up my sleeve.
I don't think I've ever been to a ski resort, so I cannot help you in this regard.
Those are the only ski resorts that I know by name. And this is the part of the game where you are going to be pushed into mandatory snowboarding.
Why?
Well, you know, it's a fair question. I think ultimately, like, the question is fair.
I got very concerned. So you have to, let's back up, because we'll get to the snowboarding, but you run around to all these different little houses in the village, and then once you...
Mind you, we're suddenly in a ski resort town after, like, the love of Cloud's life has been murdered in front of him, and he almost did it himself. And so, like, this is, like, tonally where the game wants you to go next. It's like, hey, we just unleashed the most traumatic thing that's ever happened in a video game. Do you want to go snowboarding?
Yeah. The music gets very chipper. It's, like, really bizarre. But so you check out all these little houses. You find all the stuff. I inspected the map on the wall, and it asked me if I wanted to take it, so I did. And yes. Then eventually somebody tells you if you're going to try and climb the glacier, you probably want to grab the map. And then he's like, oh, you already took it? Well, that's a little rude. And I'm like, well, listen, what do you want from me?
Man, what do you want? It was there. The game has indoctrinated me into, like,
stealing stuff
from people. Yeah.
If you, like, want me kosher. To have to talk to you first before I can take the map off the wall, the game can be designed that way, because that's what happened with the snowboard.
Yeah.
I tried to take the snowboard too early.
There's a kid in one of these houses that's, like, crying in front of his snowboard. And eventually you're going to take his snowboard, but not yet.
Nope.
First, you got to, like, try and get out of the town and, like, proceed to these ski slopes, basically.
Yeah.
And beyond the ski slopes are, like, this really intense winter wonderland type. Wonderland is definitely the wrong way to go. Like, a maze, right? Like, yeah. A really elaborate maze that you need the map for that you just took. But you can't go without snowboarding, according to the guy who's, like, at the edge of the slope. And when you try and go the first time, we get an appearance from Elena, member of the Turks, who has a score to settle because she believes that Cloud and Avalanche are responsible for the death of Seng, the leader of the Turks. And let's not forget, Elena and Seng had a dinner date. And Cloud ruined it.
Trying to set up a dinner date while they're on the trail of Sephiroth in, like, the Temple of the Ancients.
Yeah.
Yeah. But lest we forget, it was Sephiroth who attacked Seng, who managed to stay alive long enough to give the keystone that Kate Sith had stolen back to Cloud and his friends so that they could get into the Temple of the Ancients.
Zed, there was so much death last week.
Yeah.
We lost Seng, and then Kate Sith gave up his stuffed body to save the planet. Kate Sith won.
Yep.
Then your controller died.
Yeah.
As a huge metaphor, by the way. Yep. When you told me that, I was like, wow, that's on point.
Appropriate, yeah.
Yeah, and then Aeris died. A lot of death last week on the Final Fantasy VII podcast.
I guess that means I have to name the new controller Kate Sith 2.
Kate Sith 2.
I don't like it. I don't want it, but it seems to be meant to be.
I don't think you have a choice. I think it's Kate Sith 2. So Elena shows up. She's like, you son of a... And she goes to punch you. And for the first... But not the last time, Zed, I will have you know, you find yourself in a situation where someone in the game is about to throw a punch at you, and you have the option of dodging or at least combating the punch.
Mm-hmm.
How did this go for you?
Not well. because typically when you're given these sorts of, like, button command instructions in the game, in my experience, you get to look at them for as long as you want. And then once you sort of memorized what are usually very intricate, like, corresponding, do this and this thing will happen instructions, like, you get a full, when you're snowboarding, you get an entire screen with, like, a dozen things on it.
Yeah.
So it gives you like a quick little window of push this button to go this way or to dodge this way or to dodge this way. And I was still like looking at that, trying to understand what was happening. And then I just got, you know, sucker punched right in the stomach.
Yeah. There's, if you it's dodge her, if you dodge Elena, I believe she just like cartwheels down the ski slopes.
Oh, that would have been
like,
funny.
She like whiffs and rolls down the ski slopes, and like the Shinra soldiers that are with her. Remember those blue Shinra suits?
Mm-hmm.
Return of the blue Shinra soldiers with their blue armor and everything. They chase after her, and so like you don't have to pass out and like wake up somewhere and do it like not do it all over again, but like kind of like hit the trail again.
Yeah,
you just like the guy who's at the edge of the ski slope, I think, like runs up to you and is like, wow, it was pretty impressive. Dodged that pretty well.
It would have been impressive had it happened.
Yeah, didn't happen. That's all right. Whatever. You know, the game basically proceeds exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
The dude's like, all right, if you want to go onto the other side of the mountain, you're going to need a map. Looks like you stole that. And a snowboard. You're going to need to steal that. So you go back to this little crying kid. And he's like, I broke my leg.
I can't use my snowboard.
I can't use my snowboard anymore. Sorry, Mike Bloom, if you're listening.
He's not.
He's not. He might be. I don't know. Mike, what's up if you are? Mike loves... I don't know if Mike's played FF7, but I am positive.
He just finished FF8. Because the
Mike,
FF7
Mike Bloom?
Channel... I think so. Am I
no,
making this
no
up?
No way. I think it's a different Mike. I think that might be
There's
Mike Edwards.
There's a lot of Mikes in there.
There's a lot of Mikes. Some Mike, let us know who you are. We can't check the Discord right now because we're too focused up on the recording. Or is that if you can?
I'm
That's
checking.
Amazing.
I'm checking.
All right, Zed's
no,
checking.
No, it's definitely Mike Bloom. Oh, watching a playthrough, excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, that's what I was
okay.
going to say. So that's what I was going to say is that Mike loves to watch video games, which I relate to really hard. It's a really fun hobby. And I don't know if he's played FF7, but he's definitely watched it before. So if Mike's listening, Mike,
say
great
hi,
to have
let
you
us
here.
Know.
Great. Yeah, let us know. So you go and you steal the snowboarder kid's snowboard. And the guy is like, all right, sweet. Now go snowboard your way into the great beyond.
Yeah, because in this ski resort town, there is nowhere to just like buy these materials.
No.
You have to go take them from children.
Thievery. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who's delivering this stuff because clearly they've outsourced the snowboard. I don't know. Is this like a Junon export? I don't know. I don't know. but so you then have to, again, it's really worth resetting and reminding. Sephiroth just descended from God knows where and impaled like the most full of life character in the entire game
mm-hmm.
with his sword.
Right in front of your face.
In front of your face after you yourself, in Zed's own words, nearly cleaved this person
yeah.
in half. This all just happened and now the game is like snowboarding? Weird. Not my favorite,
yeah,
to be
very weird.
Completely honest.
Very
There's
weird.
A couple things in Disc 2 that I don't love. This is one of them. This is probably... Is this my least favorite minigame in Final Fantasy VII? It would definitely be on the list. But Zed, I have an anti-snowboarding bias anyway. Because flashback to Stratton, the aforementioned Vermont ski resort, when I was but a young warthog, and I would ski all the time. With my good friend Ben, New York Knicks fan Ben, cousin Ben of the Succession podcasts once upon a time, member of the Post Recaps patron Discord, who's definitely not listening to this podcast. We used to go on ski trips together, and my dad, who is like has super genius intellect, but is like very emotionally not intelligent and lacks a lot of basic common sense. Was like, oh, well, you've done your first blue square, your first intermediate slope. It's probably time to do a black diamond. And I went from like one intermediate to a black diamond, which is the hard one. It's not the hardest. I think like triple black is the scariest of them all. And I went and I had no idea what I was doing. It was very scary. Everything was going way too fast. And I got plowed into by a snowboarder. and my skis flew off and my ski poles bent out of proportion and they had to sled me down the mountain. The whole thing was to-do. It was a real to-do, and I didn't ski again until last year when Emily and I were in the north of Japan and we felt like we had to do it, and we had the best day with a family that taught us how to ski and laughed at me mercilessly as I had no idea what I was doing. It was highly enjoyable, but I have a big anti-snowboarder bias as a result. Also, a lot of therapy about my father as a result of this, but that's neither here nor there. But this part of the game, Zed, it takes place in the real time of me playing it, I think 2 years post-incident.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Not great. Not great.
So there's like, there was no world in which I was ever going to feel good about this.
You related strongly to that kid whose snowboard got stolen.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. It was me.
Sounds pretty traumatic.
It wasn't great.
All around.
It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, the game sucks. Like, beyond that, the snowboard minigame is terrible. There isn't even any cool music, Zed.
No, it's just, like, whistling wind happening. And I was very concerned, because they do all the little graphics up at the top like you're in a racing game. There's, like, your speed, and there's how long it's been going, which is not great, because I did not need to be aware of just how long it was taking. And then you're snowboarding with all these, like, complicated... like game mechanics that I didn't pay enough attention to, and it doesn't matter. And you're snowboarding down this mountain, and also, don't we want to go up? Why are we going down? And then there's like snowman moogles that you can run into, and boy, did I hit a lot of them, but also balloons you can collect.
Yes.
Balloon.
Balloon. But to what end?
Literally none. It took me over 5 minutes because the timer told me so. You don't win or lose. You do not gain anything for however many balloons you've collected.
Correct.
It's just over.
You do at the gold saucer because you...
Oh,
because
then there's a snowboarding game you can play, right? Or something?
Yeah. Yep.
Gee,
there's one more mini game coming up. There's one more mini game coming up that... You play in the real time of the game, and then it becomes a thing at the gold saucer.
Do I have to go back there again?
Have to. No. No.
Are you going to send me back there again?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In a deep way. Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
In a significant way, yeah. You're going to spend a lot of time. Not only that, you're going to... You're going to spend so much time at the Golden Saucer, Zed, that you may want to consider buying a lifetime pass.
Oh boy. Well, this will be the first time I might have the money to do that. I've been nowhere close on my two previous visits.
Yeah. I mean, this will be like, we're going to do like a full side quest chapter. We'll just chronicle all the ridiculous side quests you've gone on before we beat the game. Because there's some stuff that you're going to want. Because otherwise the end of the game is going to be obscenely difficult.
I don't like that.
And there is some stuff that I think you're gonna if not outright need, then really, really want in order to defeat some of the final parts of the game. So it'll be worth doing for that, but also for journalism.
For journalism. Okay. Yeah.
Audio journalism.
I am notoriously a completionist and also... have never fully completed Final Fantasy IX because of the last two boss battles, and have never fully completed Kingdom Hearts because of the last two boss battles.
Well, you've got a podcast to apply the pressure.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Now I have the motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we'll get it done. So yeah, you'll have to go back to the gold saucer.
Okay,
but that's what I think that like the snowboarding mini game here is like establishing the gold saucer mini game apparatus.
Yeah.
It's like what. How fast can you do it? How many balloons can you collect? Here's the good news. You will never have to play this game again.
The course just goes on for so long.
Forever.
I couldn't believe it. It just kept going.
So I was playing on the Switch, and I had it on, like, fast forward and everything, and just, like, trying to yada yada through it as quickly as possible. And mm-hmm. I looked at the game clock, because I did just keep running into trees and Moogles and all sorts of stuff.
The forest, yeah.
Yeah, you go through a forest, and, like, you run through a tree, and you hit the tree with such force that the tree falls over and disappears and dies. But you are okay, and you get back up on the snowboard. This explains a lot about the strength with which the snowboarder hit me, Zed.
Yeah.
And I looked at my clock by the end of it, and I had, like, in the game clock, spent 9 minutes snowboarding.
Yeah.
Because I just was doing it very recklessly.
So tedious.
I can't imagine, like, having spent, like, 9 real minutes snowboarding would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great, but you do it, and you get through the other side, and I think, like, depending on how well you do, you wind up in a different part of this next stage.
Oh, that's wild.
You're in, I think that might be the way in which your success dictates what happens next. I may be making this up, but you snowboard off of, like, this platform. Like, you pick up insane momentum, and then Cloud flies off the side of the slopes. And when the game resumes, you're now in this level where you have, like, the map that you stole is very deliberately tied to this new place that you're in. And you are in, like, this, it's very confusing. It's not like, it's not a map that's tracking your progress. It's a map that, like, you have to sort of, like, mentally connect where you are based on your visual surroundings to what that looks like on the map. I guess, like, Zed, it's, like, more like a real map than a video game map.
Yeah.
Because how maps actually work.
Yeah. It's just, it's a static image, and theoretically, people smarter than me can figure out where on that map they are compared with where they are in the video game. I did not make a whole lot of use of this map, to be perfectly honest. I was like, the check mark is north. That's where I need to go. Not quite sure where I am, but I'm going to go in what I think is the direction of north.
So how did this whole part of the game go? Because this can be, there's a lot that you can do here.
Uh-huh.
There is stuff you can ignore. How did it all go down for you?
Sort of miraculously, I somehow got to, like, the cabin where you eventually have to go. And I learned...
Oh, you just, like, you walked right in?
Not straight there. No, no, no. Because as you're walking around, the wind starts blowing, and then the game starts, like, spinning. So you can keep walking in the same direction, but, like, the ground is moving under you, so you're not actually walking in the same direction. And you can stake these little, like, almost like ski slope poles to, like, plot your course so that you know if you've turned back on yourself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to never circle back on myself. Like, I kept placing the little flags, but I never saw them again. I ran into a cave where I mm-hmm. found some materia.
What'd you find?
Oh, let's see. The walkthrough will tell me which one it was.
Was it like a cool materia or
just,
sort
just
of a lame
all,
materia?
It was just an all materia.
All's cool materia.
I have a bunch of those.
All's good. It's good to be able to cast all the spells on everybody.
Yes, it definitely is. But it looks like from the walkthrough, there were two others that I could have gotten and didn't. But when I got to the cabin, I was like, fine, I'm staying here. I don't care.
So did you do any reading as to, like, how this could have gone?
So this is where I got confused, because in the walkthrough, it talks about, first of all, it tells you to ignore the cave that I went into. And I was like, absolutely not. But also there's a different cave where you can talk to a woman.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I never found her. And if you defeat her, you get something called the Alexander materia.
Yes, I believe we call that the Jankinator materia. Yeah.
Does Alexander have a fancy mustache?
Yeah, it's a summon spell. Uh-huh. It's a summon spell where, like, you summon, like, this big castle. Well, you've played Final Fantasy IX.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Alexandria, the city?
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. In case anyone's like, whoa. No FF9 spoilers in here, but Zed, you remember Alexandria, the city, so it's of a similar ilk.
I see.
Similar ilk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you could do that. You could run around, like, you could find all sorts of stuff. There's, like, a couple, like, little, like, not quite mini games. There's one where it's, like, skip across a frozen pond and, like, go from, like, sinking ice platform to sinking ice platform.
Oh, yeah, there's, a strategy section down at the bottom of this part of the walkthrough about ice flows.
Yes.
And I did not encounter that at all, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I spent some time on that the other day, and I didn't love myself for it. But if you spend too much time in this whole area anyway, eventually
you just
pass
get too
out.
Cold. Yeah.
Yes. You just pass out. You like conk out on the ground. Just clean knockout. And Cloud wakes up in this cabin that you found through your own sheer determination, Zed. And there's a dude here in the cabin whose name is like Holzwaltz or something like that.
Where did it go? His name is
I don't remember. So there's an
Holzoff,
H.
Yeah. H-O-L-Z-O-F-F.
Yeah. And Holzoff's like, yeah, I'm Holzoff. What's up? And you're like, oh, hey. Dude at the cabin in the middle of this terrifying
I've
mountain.
I've been here for 20 years.
He's like, I've been here for 20 years. And his backstory, Zed, if we really interrogate it, doesn't line up with reality. because this guy is like, so my friend and I, like, you know, we lived in Icicle Inn, and there's the mountains ahead, and no one really knows what's in the mountains. So the mountains are very, very dangerous. You thought a triple black diamond was scary? You've seen nothing yet. You haven't even tried. And he's like, so my friend and I, we were climbing the mountain. We wanted to see what's on the other side of the mountain. No one's seen it before. And it got really cold and really scary. And I didn't even notice that my friend cut his own rope. And you're like, whoa, that's pretty grim.
Yeah, what?
This is like some cliffhanger stuff. And then he's like, so I eventually just came back down and I lived here. I couldn't go back. And it's like, all right. But then how did you build like this highly functional cabin that you live in?
Yeah. How do you get supplies? You live like literally just in the middle of snow and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. This Jonathan Banks looking guy who's like trying to convince us that like
everything's just, cool. Like, he's fine. Yeah,
it's fine. I just live here on this side of the mountains now, Cloud. And he's like there and he's like, why don't you just rest up, drink some cocoa, hang out, use a save point should you need. And if you're really gonna be serious about braving the mountains, well, hey, whew, good luck. And B, don't forget to press this button every time you see a flag so that you warm yourself up. So now you've reached this portion of the game, Zed, where you have to climb a mountain. And every time you see a flag, you reach the flag and you have to hit, like, what is it,
square
repeatedly?
A bunch of times, yeah. Yeah. So that you, like, jog in place to warm yourself back up.
Yeah.
Although, let me tell you, this science does not check out because climbing is a lot of work. I speak from experience, I've not climbed a glacier or any sort of rock face.
Not
but I
yet.
Do a lot of indoor climbing and it's a lot of
not
work.
Yet.
You're keeping your body plenty warm climbing up this thing. And if anything, you might want to just stand still in between climbing to like shake things out a little bit. But the jumping up and down, I don't know. And also, it's telling you, like, make sure your body stays at, like, normal temperature. I don't know what temperature scale we're using that you want to remain somewhere in the, like, 36, 37 range?
Yeah.
Is that Celsius? Somebody from Canada tell me. I don't
you
know.
Is that you asking me?
No, I'm asking our Canadian listeners that we definitely have.
Or our friend from
Australia, who on the Discord is Shinobri, but I don't know. Shinobri's real name.
Shinobri, who red shelled me when I was. Anyway, we don't need to relitigate the events of the Wario Casino.
We really don't.
Yeah, you have to like go to the flags, and you have to like jog in place. Anyway, it's weird. Before you go, Barrett has a great moment, right? Where he's like, "I gotta say, like I'm a big fan of nature. Everything I've been doing has been because I think the Shinra sucks, but I'm like here in this super cold, terrifying glacial land. And Cloud, I gotta tell you, I don't think so.
Yeah, this doesn't seem
like
great.
It.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I love that from Barrett. And then Barrett's like, maybe the Shinra isn't so bad if they just want to turn this to a city. And then he's like, oh my God, what am I thinking?
What's happening? What's happening?
Yeah, like Barrett has like this very random existential crisis. It's really, really great.
He's like, kind of makes Midgar seem nice.
Yeah, it was funny. I laughed really hard. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
That was very funny.
So you then have this big, sprawling ice dungeon thing that you have to go through. You're climbing Mount Gaia. You have all of these different flags that you have to stop at. Mm-hmm. The game is also very sneaky, right? Like, there's all these different forks in the climbing road, and you can go in, like, in circular paths to nowhere in particular.
Yeah.
And if you don't keep your body temperature at the right heat, you'll pass out and go back to Holzoff's cabin. And it'll be like, see, I told you. And then you have to do it again.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad that there are some dead ends, though, because I feel like it would have been less interesting if it was literally just like, okay, follow wherever you can get on the rock face, just get on and keep going. It's like, well, then it's just tedious. At least this way, it's a little bit like try and figure out a very rudimentary maze, but a maze nonetheless. I never passed out and returned to the cabin. Maybe I would feel differently if that had happened, but you're climbing up the rock face. You got to get to the cave. You get there. I've done more annoying things in this game. You get to the cave and then things get really ridiculous.
Yeah. You get to the cave. There's all sorts of things that you got to do, right? Where like, you have to like attack icicles.
Yeah. There's a series of icicle battles.
There's like four frozen stalactites.
Yep.
That literally with like bats protecting them.
Yes.
And you have winged
bats, not like my nail bat. Like flying bats.
Have you been using the nail bat?
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. I think I've since gained another weapon that like has, you know, eight materia slots in it or something. But I've been hanging on to the nail bat.
There's another weapon called the working glove for Tifa
that's like
the nail bat, where it has no materia slots and it's just like everything else is amped up.
Yeah, I think for a while my party was like three people with weapons that had no materia.
Wow.
But I have I have good, you know, armlets or bangles or whatever now that have a bunch of slots. And I think Vincent just got a new weapon that has like eight slots. So he has like all the magic in the world.
Yeah. He's got that silver rifle, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know. Not paying close attention. you fight these frozen stalactites, right?
Stalagmites. It's stalactite. Hang on tight.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Stalagmite. You might trip on it.
Is that how we were supposed to learn it?
Mm. That's how I remember, and I learned that from somewhere.
Yeah. This is definitely not the first podcast I've been on where I've questioned, is it a stalactite or a stalagmite?
I believe that.
It's also totally possible that it was with you on like Mole Patrol.
It's possible.
I feel like this is a conversation we've had.
Familiar.
Yeah, deja vu all over again.
I was shocked when I was fighting the first icicle because I didn't realize I was fighting an icicle. I thought I was just fighting the bats, and the icicle was just like part of, you know, the background of the game screen. And so I beat the two bats, and I was like, all right, great, moving on. And then the battle didn't end, and I was like, what's... But they're gone. What's happening? And then my little attack thing menu came up, and I clicked attack, and it pointed at the icicle, and I was like, we're doing this? I'm fighting the icicle?
Does the icicle fight back?
Yeah, it does like a falling icicle, like every New Yorker's worst nightmare of like icicles raining down from the sky.
Right.
That have fallen, you know, off of somebody's air conditioner sticking out their window.
Yeah.
So it does that, although it was not super effective in my recollection. But then every time you beat the icicle, you have to go through this like slow animation of like the icicle cracking.
Shivering, shimmering.
Cracking.
Trembling.
Cracking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you go back to the game screen and the icicle plummets and shatters.
Yeah.
But every time it gives you the option, it's like, would you like to jump to the room below? And it's like, no, there's a shiny box on the other side of these icicles. I want to go over there and get it.
Three more icicles that I'm pretty clearly going to have to fight. Yeah, it makes sense if you can just like fight the four icicles at once, get the shiny thing. I forget what's in the shiny treasure chest.
I also forget, but you got to do it. Got to do it.
Did you get the ribbon, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I've had that for a long time. Cloud has that. It's great. You get a ribbon that protects you from all abnormal statuses, so you can't be poisoned or sleep or whatever.
There was another one in this cave. Did you get the one in this cave? You could have two ribbons.
Oh, maybe. I'll have to check.
Check your inventory.
I feel like I got all the stuff in the cave. I did all the things.
The very first room, you like go all the way to the right, and there's secretly like a treasure chest place.
I love a ribbon.
You could eventually go back if you want, I think, really want, but, you know, feels like a long way to go for a ribbon.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen.
I don't think you need to do it. But you fight the icicles, you jump down, the icicles that have fallen below have, like, plugged the ground.
Yeah, like, oh, from thanks. A room now you I can were get in before, places. And mm-hmm. if you have the little help icons on like I do, there's a little arrow pointing at a cave, and I was like, but I can't get there. And you have to go, you know, through six other rooms to get to knock the icicles down so you can then go back down and then walk through. I said to you at the time that, like, this cave is like the Pinocchio world in Kingdom Hearts when you're in the belly of the whale and all the rooms, like, lead to weird, confusing places. And it's, like, hard to retrace your steps and get back to where you're trying to go. Belly of the Whale, not my favorite part of Kingdom Hearts.
This place is annoying. I don't like it. I really don't care for it that much at all. You also, like, at one point have to, like, activate a boulder. I don't know. It's dumb. Oh, yeah.
I was so proud of myself for that, though.
Why? Because you were like, what do I do?
Yeah, I figured that out all on my own. Because, again, I did not realize that I had finished that I had, like, moved on from the previous section of the walkthrough because I never found this woman and battled her. And the next section of the walkthrough is called the crater. And I was like, I'm not at a crater. I'm in a cave. So I was doing all that on my own. And you go up to that ledge and there's nothing up there. There's nowhere to go. And I was like, well, this looks kind of weird. Is this anything? And I pressed, I'm sort of always just like pressing circle as I'm running around to see if anything happens.
It's a worthy endeavor. You know, you never know what part of the background you can interact with.
Well, and I have a decent amount for me of experience with open world games compared to RPGs. So I'm used to find random thing and interact with it as a game mechanism. I pushed the boulder and it knocked some stuff out of the way so that then you can go down the other path that you need to go down to get where you're going.
So, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You go through the caves, you fight a thing. It's like this two-headed dragon thing that is like half fire, half ice. Did you had Vincent with you on this one?
I did, and you had told me a while ago, and I had since forgotten.
I forgot to remind you. Yeah.
That there was going to be a point early in Disc 2 where you didn't want to have Vincent because of his limit break, which includes fire attacks that you can't control. But I have since upgraded Vincent's limit break to level 2, and his attacks that you can't control at level 2 are lightning. So I did not have a problem with him feeding fire to the fire dragon, as it were. Yeah. But I still managed to die once and have to do it a second time anyway.
You're in a part of the game where I'm going to be surprised if you don't get like killed by a few of these bosses. Mm-hmm. I'll be really impressed. There's a few that are coming up that are really difficult. You know, especially maybe insinuated by like what comes out of the earth in a few minutes from now. Like, things are intense. So you fight the dragon, you beat the dragon, you get out of the cave. And you are officially further along than Holzhof ever was. You've reached the other side of the mountain. And on the other side of the mountain, what do you see?
So now you're outside. And is this where we're starting to see all the, like, blobby cape dudes?
Yeah, we're in the North Crater.
Yeah.
This huge crater.
And Cloud talks about, he's like, oh, well, this is where a meteor hit. And like, this wound is small. And look at all the damage that it's done to the Earth and how much, you know, energy the Earth is using trying to heal itself. You know, Sephiroth wants to do something even bigger and worse than this.
Yeah. So I'm going to spare you the specific details, Zed, but in Icicle Inn, there's like a TV that you can turn on and you can watch an interview series between a scientist and a different character. And at any point, if you want me to be more specific, I'm happy to be. And this this character who has a lot of information on Genova and the ancients and everything talks about how the ancients like rallied together and the planet rallied together to like stave off the wound from the last time something like this happened. So that's the North Crater, effectively. The North Crater is the top of the planet from a certain view. And it is the site of this huge impact. And this is effectively the promised land that's been talked about because so much energy gathered here to save the planet that this is like the deeply Mako-rich lands. And I think it actually does help you, Zed, if you hear a little bit more of this backstory from this TV session, because one of the things that the planet did to help save itself and also defend itself from future attacks is it the planet like intelligently designed effectively a weapon system called Weapon. And Weapon refers to these creatures literally called Weapon that are like kaiju monsters. Like, think Godzilla and Pacific Rim and Power Rangers and all this stuff. Just like these gigantic, massive forces of destruction that work on behalf of the planet and activate when they sense that the planet is in extraordinary duress. So that's like the backstory that you get from Icicle Inn as you arrive in this place that is the heart of this meteor impact and is very clearly the site of this reunion that all these black robed, blobby creatures have been talking about all along the way.
Gotcha.
So you go and like,
okay,
you're seeing these robed figures and they're like, reunion, reunion.
Yeah. So now we're wending our way through like a rocky terrain because it doesn't snow in the crater for some reason. And you have to get through these like wind barrier situations.
At this point, one more obstacle. At this point, did you have Tifa in your party already?
Yes, I think so. Because I think at some point she's definitely like, I want to come with you. I have to be a part of this.
Yes, yes. So if you like went through the Gaia Mountain without Tifa and you enter the North Cave, Tifa, Cloud's childhood friend, shows up and is like, I don't want to miss out on anything coming next. I want to be part of the party. And it's like basically the game being like, whatever happens in the story next is going to be very important to Tifa. So you need to have Tifa in the party. And so that's going to be that. And Tifa joins the party. And yeah, you have to like navigate all of these winding ways with wind storms and lightning storms and electric things. And if you get hit by a lightning, you have to fight a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, and the timing wasn't the difficult thing for me. It was figuring out how close I could get to it without hitting it. Because it's hard to tell in the graphics a little bit. Depth is not the strong suit of
this era
of video game. So you have to go through like just regular wind, and then you have to go through like icy wind, and then you have to go through like lightning wind as you're moving through all these screens. And as you get closer and you see the like trail of cloaked blob dudes.
Not quite a blood trail, a blob trail.
A blob trail of the black cloaked creatures that have been, you know, saying Sephiroth and Reunion and Black Materia. They start flinging themselves off a cliff, quite literally. And some of them just fall over in the road. And if you go up to them, they'll disappear. A couple of them leave behind potions or elixirs or whatever. So I stopped and checked at every single one. And when you check in on them, they disappear.
Yep.
And then you make it up to the top or the center of this winding path at the center of the crater where the reunion is happening.
The reunion is going down. And meanwhile, Shinra is here, right? Rufus is here. He's on his airship.
With Heidegger like, and Hojo.
Feels like they rehired Hojo.
Yeah, he was like, last we saw Hojo, he was on vacation in Costa del Sol with like, three scantily clad women hanging around him.
And the naked swimmer. In the ocean. And Hojo, the scientist, who's like, nah, I quit. He's apparently back. They must have, negotiated pretty hard for his return. Or they just kidnapped him. I don't know.
Right. And this crew that has this, like, high-tech, beautiful, like, huge windows airship was coming to get the tiny Bronco from Sid? ?
Yes. Yes. I'm so glad you brought it up.
They needed the little biplane?
This is what I was saying before. It's right. Like, you traveled by ocean across the world to go to Rocket Town to borrow Sid Highwind's tiny-ass Bronco to find the Temple of the Ancients, and yet you also had this airship the entire time?
That does not hold up.
Doesn't track.
Any scrutiny.
Doesn't track. Holes off, breathing a sigh of relief, like, oh, thank God, they're looking elsewhere.
I would say holes in.
Yeah.
The story.
Holes in. Knock those icicles down. Plug those holes. So Rufus is here. It's like, oh, wow, Promised Land. Cool, we made it. So that's like lurking in the background. Meanwhile, the reunion is happening. Cloud and the party, they reach who they believe to be Sephiroth, but it turns out to be another Genova trap, so you have to do another one of these Genova battles. What is this now? Two chapters in a row that you're fighting Genova in terms of the podcast? Because you fought a Genova during the Eris scene,
right.
And now you got to fight Genova again. Was this hard for you?
This one was okay. I haven't had too much trouble with the Genovas, actually. I don't know if I'm just, like, equipping the right stuff. I've had a lot of... Well, so this was something that came up with the two-headed fire ice dragon, is because you're in this cold place, I've been using fire attacks on all these creatures, and then suddenly you have a dragon that has fire, and that's why I died the first time, because I was like, well, most of my magic is fire-based right now, and that's not gonna work.
Right.
Genova, I don't think, is specifically elemental in any way.
Not to my knowledge, no.
I do have this funny image of Sephiroth with just this, like, giant bag of, like, random creature
parts. Genova
parts,
yeah.
That he just, like, throws out whenever he needs a little more time
to accomplish
whatever he's doing. Like, where are they
hard
coming
to, like,
from?
Fully articulate what's going on. Although I think maybe we'll be able to, like, theorize on it in a minute once we learn a little bit more. Details about Sephiroth, which is coming imminently.
Mm-hmm.
So you fight Genova, you defeat Genova, Cloud, like, turns to the whole group, is like, all right, I think this is it. Pretty sure, like, we go one screen up. we're gonna be at the reunion. Maybe one more wind thing that we'll have to go through, but other than that, we're at the reunion. And we've got the Black Materia. We do possess it. We're currently in possession of the Black Materia.
Yeah, because when you defeat Genova, the Black Materia is then, like, sitting there.
Yes.
In its place.
Yes. So the Black Materia is there, and you have it, and you're like, I don't think that I should go to the reunion with this. I should probably entrust the Black Materia with someone.
Mm-hmm.
The game kind of like has you like thinking that like you could give it to any of the party. In truth, you can only give it to two people. There's only two people who the game will allow you to entrust the black materia with. And I feel like that's the game signaling that like Red 13 and Barrett ride or die. Everyone else is a little flaky. Oh, Red 13 and Barrett are the only two that you can really trust with this.
I definitely automatically gave it to Red 13.
Of course, I figured. Yeah. Yeah. You can give it to Barrett. Barrett's the other option. You can give it to Red or you can give it to Barrett, but only those two.
Yeah, you get to a screen where you're sort of like standing somewhere and all of the party members have shown up around you. And I was like, oh, is this going to be a pivotal moment where I can do something like right or wrong? So I glanced at the walkthrough and it was like, give the black materia to somebody, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, yeah. So I guess it doesn't super matter.
No, it doesn't matter. You have to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
It can only be Red or Barrett. Well, so you gave it to Red.
Personally, it mattered to me that Red 13 had it. So
We did the same thing. I did the same thing. I always give it to Red and I typically bring Barrett with me for this next part. Because I kind of think of him and Tifa and Cloud as the big three.
Mm-hmm.
So you give the black material to Red and you're like, all right, guys, we'll see you after the reunion. Everything's going to go great. It does not. Reader, it goes poorly. they go past the next windscreen and suddenly everything flashes, Zed, and you're no longer quite at the North Crater, are you?
No. You are in flaming Nibelheim.
Yes.
On fire 5 years ago, Nibelheim.
Yes. So you roll up. It's like the exact same angle as when Cloud and Sephiroth and those two blue Shinra soldiers, RIP that one guy, rolled into town. And like you roll up there with Tifa and yourself and you see Sephiroth come in. And suddenly, Cloud, it's like kind of like an out of body thing where your whole party is like watching the flashback, like they're operating within the flashback effectively. Like it's like a waking, like a shared hallucination is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it played in the initial flashback when Cloud was articulating everything that had happened in Nibelheim once upon a time, here you see someone else walk up.
A little black-haired dude.
Spiky-haired. So, You know, at least we've got that. But this is not Cloud, unless Cloud, like, dyes his hair with regularity.
A possibility.
Possible. Possible. But there's someone who is wearing the exact same soldier uniform, right? Like the shoulder plates and the blue uniform, has the Buster sword, has the spiky hair, but it's black hair and it is decidedly not Cloud, this person.
Yeah. All details seem identical, particularly from like a polygonal level, other than the hair color is definitely black, not blonde.
The shape is a little different. I know there's going to be people who nitpick because it's like, don't disrespect redacted character.
Take your word for it.
Yeah. A lot of love for this character. And this character isn't Cloud.
No.
And Tifa's like, oh, no. And Cloud's like, what? Sephiroth's just trying to mess with us right now. It's pretty clear what he's trying to do. He's going to like, he's showing up. He's trying to discombobulate me even more because I'm so out of it. And he's going to try and be like, see, Cloud, you weren't in Nibelheim 5 years ago, you loser. And like, I see it coming and I'm going to be totally fine. So don't worry about a thing. Meanwhile, Tifa is like, I'd be curious to track your journey through this, Zed, because like effectively, like this whole sequence is exactly what Cloud just sketched out. And Sephiroth like shows up, is like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He's like, even remember that time when Tifa's dad took a photo of you, me, and Tifa before we went into the mountains? Take a look at the photo. That ain't you.
Yeah.
This is this dude with the black hair.
To Tifa's dead father on the ground in the fire and pulls out the photo. And Cloud's like, I don't need to look at it. Either I'm in the photo because that's what happened, or this is all an illusion and just another thing he's making up to confuse me. So who cares?
Right. And so he's
not in the photo.
He's not in the photo. It's this other guy. And like Tifa's having like this split reaction, right? Where she's like, on the one hand, she's like, because Sephiroth says this. He says that Cloud, you weren't there because you weren't born yet, right? He's like, you're a failed Sephiroth clone.
Yeah, you got created 5 years ago.
Yeah. You weren't there because you're not real. You're one of Hojo's cheap attempts at recreating me.
And you didn't even get a number.
Like the rest of these robed weirdos. You're just like them. So that's like Sephiroth. That's what he's telling Cloud. And Tifa is having this strange reaction, Zed, where on the one hand, she's like, but no, like, I've known Cloud my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
We have a shared childhood together. We've got memories. And then on the other hand, she's like, but yeah, dude, like, you weren't there. It's kind of like what she's suggesting.
She's like, you don't remember things that you should remember, and you remember things that you should have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
And it is confusing because it does feel like Cloud should be tethered to reality in that Tifa has memories of them growing up together. So you would think that that would validate his like lifetime of existence.
Yes.
But she keeps being like, I don't know. No, this doesn't make sense. And I'm just like so confused.
It's very confusing. Very confusing. Deliberately so, right? Like if you're supposed to be Zed, like if you're supposed to be in Cloud's headspace, this is supposed to be like reality shattering for
him. Right. It's like, who's telling the truth? Is my experience real? Like, what is happening? And it is, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or not, but it's sort of, there is like some like Harry and Voldemort sort of like relationship going on between Sephiroth and Cloud, it would seem. Like they are definitely connected in a weird way. And this scene is very much like Voldemort trying to get in Harry's head and convince him that like his experiences are not real. But it sounds like in this case, that might actually be true rather than it being clearly a lie in Harry Potter.
I mean, it's obviously still, wait for it, cloudy. right? Like, you know, it is still like murky.
Yeah.
Because you have Tifa on the one hand saying like, we were friends. We grew up together. You left. Like, you should remember all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, how do you remember what happened to Nibelheim? Because you weren't here for that. And so how do you map that onto what Sephiroth is telling Cloud about, like, you're a clone, dude. You're one of my clones. You haven't been chasing me. I've been calling to you.
I think Cloud has that discovery, actually. Yes. I think he's like, oh, I haven't been chasing Sephiroth. He's been summoning me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like shivers down the spine. Like that's a really like, just as like a storytelling thing. Like I feel like that's such a cool idea.
Yeah. It's a really important discovery and distinction.
Yeah. Cause like they flash out of this moment. After like, and like at a certain point, like throughout the whole flashback, actually, like, this waking nightmare, Cloud is like really confident for most of it. And then at one point he does just like snap, right? Like he just, and it's very sudden where he just starts like, not quite the, like the ha 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 type stuff, but he just like kind of like do like the head grab. And he's like, okay, I'm trying to hold it together here, but this is starting to freak me out.
My brain is falling apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the whole thing is just very, very messy. I remember encountering this the first time I played this as a kid, being like, what? Yeah. Is Cloud okay? Is he not who he thinks he is? Like, what
is
all this?
Definitely not okay.
He's definitely not okay. Because of what happens next. What happens next is no good. You leave the shared hallucination. A different hallucination occurs. We cut to like Red 13 and the rest of the party, and it looks like Tifa is running up to Red 13 being like, oh, we need you. The Cloud needs you further up the thing. He's called for you specifically, and don't forget to bring. And then as he's like running away, Tifa transforms into Sephiroth. He goes, the Black Materia.
Yeah.
So
Sephiroth has some funny moments throughout this dialogue where he's laughing and he's like, hold, you can tell, but it's in polygon form, so it's very funny. He's like holding his hand to his face, yep, and like putting his other hand out to the side, like, wait, just give me a minute, this is too funny and I need to like laugh and pull myself back together. But it like in polygon form, it kind of looks like he's like dabbing while he's laughing is how I saw it at first. Yeah. And I was like, what's happening? So that cracked me up, even in this midst of this very dark stuff.
This is one of those things that I love about video games, especially of this era. And if we go on and play a few more Final Fantasies and like we trip further back in time, you know, the graphics are going to be even worse. And like, I think like when a game can still convey emotion, mm-hmm, with like, you know, these very strange visuals, I think it's really impressive. And you're bringing up one of my favorite examples of this is the way that the game like models Sephiroth laughing.
Yeah,
he sticks an arm up of literally like, I need a minute.
He's this, like, wait, this is too much. This is killing me
right now.
Yeah, and then the shoulders jump up and down. That's laughter.
He like clutches his stomach too. Like he's like, mm-hmm, like, it hurts. It hurts. It's so funny. It hurts. You know, like it's both funny to like talk through, but like in the context of the story, it's like so dark.
Yeah.
Cause you can like imagine this guy just like cackling at this person's like moment of like true existential break. Like he's already gone through so much trauma. If you believe Cloud's story to the extent that you do, you at least have been with Cloud on this journey long enough to watch him watch Aeris die. Mm-hmm. That was like a minute ago. And now he's being told that he's effectively not real. That like this clarifies Sephiroth's comment from last time where he's like, you're a puppet, bro.
Yeah.
You're just a clone. You're 5 years old. You're just a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
A failed experiment. Yeah, your failed experiment.
I wonder if, is this the like, so back in the library at Shinra, there was subject A and subject B, and one of them had like disappeared.
Right.
And I wondered if Cloud was the one that had disappeared.
I don't know.
Since he doesn't have a number. I don't know.
We may find out. We'll find out more, I'm sure. I'm sure that there's more to this story.
Other theory, while I'm discussing theories, and this has not held up as much as I've thought about it, but we heard about Zack, and I spent a lot of time hearing about Zack while I was stuck in Zack's house when my controller died.
Yeah.
And Tifa knows Zack and didn't want to talk about it when we first learned about Zack. And so I wonder if this person that we're seeing instead is Zack. But Zack is from Gungaga, or like that's where his parents live.
Right.
Not from Nibelheim, so I don't know if that checks out or not.
Well,
but that is a thought that I had, so I'll throw it out there.
Without verifying one way or the other, mm-hmm, what I would say is that Nibelheim scene was a mission, right? Like, it was Sephiroth and Soldier going to Nibelheim to check out the reactor.
Good point, so yes.
It wouldn't really matter if Zack was from Gungaga.
Yeah, I guess I just thought, well, but I thought about it because I'm trying to figure out if Tifa has these memories of growing up with Cloud, if all of that it has been like transferred onto him from somebody else that she did grow up with, or if it's like a conflation of multiple people,
right?
Or like what it is, because it would make sense if Zack was on that mission instead of Cloud. Like that would track, and if that like bonded Tifa and Zack together, and she didn't want to talk about it because now Cloud is telling that story like it's his story. But then I don't know who the person she grew up with is, and that could still be somebody else. But for you Final Fantasy VII Discorders out there, that's what I'm thinking about right now.
I'll say this: I think you're asking great questions. Yeah. You're hovering it for sure, okay, which is awesome. So we cut to like the center of the crater effectively. And like, it's this big glacial, place. And, it's in the Shinra's perspective. So Rufus shows up and Hojo is there and Scarlet and Heidegger, they all show up. They're like, wow, neat. We're going to get so much of Mako and money. Like, they're thrilled. They found it. This is what they've been looking for the entire time. And then all of a sudden, like, an eye opens up in the wall.
Just like in the background, yeah.
Yes. Like, one of the glacial walls has an eye open up. And it's not quite the same as, like, one of those enemy walls that I keep talking about in Final Fantasy. It's, they're all like, whoa, what is this? And Hoja's like, oh, that's weapon. And they're like, huh?
Excuse me?
And it's like, yeah, you know, weapon, the planet has a weapon system. And when threatened, it operates its weapon system. And, like, you would think that maybe this would give a normal person some pause of, like, maybe I shouldn't do anything. This, like, might have come up
before.
Yeah. Hojo seems like he keeps secrets, right? Like, Hojo is sort of this wild card. Hojo's got, like, his own agenda.
Hojo's up for Hojo.
Yeah.
Whether that's with Shinra or Sephiroth or...
just himself.
Just himself, yeah.
Probably not with Avalanche. Like, he's a wild card, but a bad guy. Like, yeah. Definitely not, you know, definitely, like... I think he's, like, chaotic evil. You know, he's off on his own thing. Mm-hmm. He's not... maybe is it chaotic neutral? I think chaotic neutral, probably. He's still kind of a bad guy. I don't know. I'm not so deep in D&D yet that I can do the alignment charts with any confidence, but chaotic dude.
For sure.
Yeah. More chaos occurs because suddenly Cloud, Tifa, and whoever your third party member is, I assume Vincent for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Cloud, Tifa, and Vincent just, like, materialize in the same space that everyone is in, the Shinra's in. And they're like, whoa, how did you guys get here? And Cloud's like, you see that eye that's open in the wall? Like, things are going to get pretty messy here. You should probably leave it to me. And Tifa's trying to communicate with Cloud because she's, like, not done talking this through. She's been burying this for a long time. Mm-hmm. You get the sense that she's been burying that there's something really wrong with Cloud for, you know, basically the entire game. And now, like, the jig is up. Sephiroth has kind of, like, blown up Cloud's world, and she wants to talk it through, but he doesn't hear her, or he's ignoring her. It almost also seems like, because of the way, like, the font is displayed, that, like, Tifa can't really speak. It's like she's in his mind or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, Red 13 shows. I was like, oh, Cloud, I heard that you needed me. And I don't know, you as the player, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, this cannot end well.
Oh no.
Don't give it back.
The black materia once. This isn't good.
Don't do it.
You're in control of Cloud, and much like when you nearly cleaved Aeris in half, you like slowly go to Red 13 and take the black materia.
Yeah. Cannot stop yourself.
And, like, at the point that he does it, it's like now Cloud seems, like, kind of resigned to whatever it is he's supposed to be doing. Like, it seems like he's, like, fully surrendered to Sephiroth at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's almost, like, kind of, like, cards up about it, where he's like, guys, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm really sorry about this. I can't believe that this is what it is, but this is what it is. Tifa, especially. Tifa, I'm so sorry. And he, like, floats up, and he, like, disappears and starts hanging out in, like, this...
the, like, tree ceiling?
Mm-hmm. There's, like, a tree ceiling in this area. Not quite. It's, like, sort of, like, a bunch of, like, branches that are intertwined, and they are holding up this like frozen glacial it's like the life stream has frozen over in this one suspended part, and in the heart of this suspended piece it's Sephiroth is frozen in here, and you kind of find out what the deal is, but I think, like, it's still like let's connect the lines together among us style of, like, what's going on here. Cause, like, Hojo starts talking as though, like, he's kind of, like, solved the situation to some extent. Anyway, he's like, oh snap. Cloud is one of my failed experiments. Yeah. That's right. Oh, that makes so much sense. And I do think, like, even Cloud's like, you didn't give me a number, Professor
Yeah,
Hojo.
Like, yeah, he's like, well, this is one of my Sephiroth clones. Which number are you?
Yeah.
And Cloud's like, I didn't even get a number. I was a failure. And here I am. And Hojo is kind of upset because none of the other ones made it. And he thought they were all going to make it together. And instead, the only one that's achieved success is the numberless failure that is Cloud.
Right. So Cloud takes that pretty hard. And then on top of that, Hojo articulates that, like, Sephiroth is here. This is, like, the reunion was happening here because Sephiroth's body is here. Mm-hmm. This is where Sephiroth's body has been all this time. Like, after the Nibelheim incident is sort of, like, the insinuation. And, like, Sephiroth talked before about how he was, like, a passenger through the life stream. He traveled through the life stream. Where did he wind up? How did he, like, get out the other side and start walking around killing everybody? Well, the insinuation is that he never really physically got out because mm-hmm. He's been frozen here. He's been in the North Crater. And all these times that we've been seeing Sephiroth along the way, it's like he's mapping himself onto these hooded blob figures.
Right.
So it maybe helps clarify, like, why he sometimes just, like, leaves his sword behind. Because he's sort of, like, illusory, right? Like, he's, like, sort of, like, glomming on to all of these different Sephiroth clones that Hojo has created along the way. And that Cloud appears to have been, like, the most sentient and successful of these clones who has brought the Black Materia all the way to its final destination. At least that's sort of, like, what the working theory appears to be. Whether or not that's all the way true, I think, is another question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tracks as, like, the explanation you've basically been given. That Sephiroth's physical body, you know, died or was frozen or whatever, has been inactive for the last 5 years. But Sephiroth's, like, life force or, like, magical power has been able to occupy other beings and then can manipulate reality so that that being appears like Sephiroth. Because this is weird, too, a little bit. Like, if you're just trying to go around doing the thing that you're doing and you don't have to look like yourself, if you want to just get away with your plans, you could just do that in whatever form Sephiroth could. Sephiroth is choosing to, like, make these other forms look like him, is my understanding.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But that might also be, like, trying to expect too much, like, delicacy and, frankly, logic from, like, an egomaniacal super narcissist.
Yeah, you know? I suppose. It's like, I did it, and I want you to know that I did it.
Right,
is certainly
it was me.
Part of his character.
Yeah, so, like, I think it's, like, you know, part of the joy he seems to be deriving from this whole exercise is, like, the godliness of it.
Yeah, and if you're getting Cloud to follow you, he needs to be able to talk to people who say, oh, yeah, I saw a guy with silver hair and a black cape. Go that way.
Yeah, yeah. But it does feel like, and, like, one of the things I think that is still worth chewing on, despite everything that we seemingly have just learned about Cloud, is that, like, Sephiroth really does, like have it, like, he's being particularly cruel to this guy, mm-hmm. you know, I guess, like, maybe there are other versions of Final Fantasy VII where we're getting the backstories of all the other robed clones and seeing, like, the ways in which Sephiroth's Dr. Frankenstein is kicking these, you know, veritable Igors in the shins. But he's, like, really been dunking on Cloud in this very intense personal way. Along the journey so far, you know, killing Eris right in front of him when he could have apparently had Cloud just do it, or Cloud was strong enough to break free from that, right? Like, the questions of, like, how did that all work out, and why is Sephiroth being so uniquely awful to Cloud, mm-hmm. I think is worth pondering still. I think, like, that's still, like, why? Why are you such a dick?
Yeah. Yeah, he could have, it would seem, because, like, Eris was at that altar in the City of the Ancients by herself, and clearly Sephiroth was just, like, waiting for Cloud and his friends to show up. If the goal was just to kill Eris, Sephiroth could have done that on his own before Cloud ever got there.
Yeah.
But it is, it does go back to this, you know, you're being summoned idea of like, you know, you need to see this so you have the motivation to continue to follow me to come to the place where this is all going to go down.
Right. So it's fascinating. There's a lot here. Mm-hmm. Cloud, once again, hands over the black materia to Sephiroth. And now more than ever, this feels like sort of like an epically world-threatening thing, because like the entire promised land sort of like shivers and shakes. These eyes within the glacial walls are doing much more than just like blinking. Like they are now like waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus, my bar mitzvah style icon, president of Shinra, is like, so look, I know like Avalanche and Shinra, like we haven't really gotten along, but we are all going to die if we don't just like get on my ship. So maybe let's just get on my ship and we can sort through the bullshit after this.
Mm-hmm.
So like Tifa and everyone, they're like, yeah, I think that does track. So Avalanche and Shinra now are like at least temporarily aligned. They are hopping on the airship. They're getting out of there as Weapon wakes up. And mm-hmm. like the final thing that you see in this portion of the game anyway is like the promised land is going nuts. The North Crater is going nuclear. These kaiju monsters that look, you know, terrifying, that are like heavily armored and plated, but look bestial at the same time, are emerging from the earth. And they're like all these different types. There's like one that's like a dragon. There's one that's like super beefy. Like they're just like very, very different. And they're like barking fire and lasers at the sky and nearly like incinerating an airship. And like Tifa almost dies. Like she almost gets wiped out on the airship as everybody's flying away.
Yeah. And important to note, Cloud is not with them.
Cloud has seemingly stayed behind. At the very least, if he hasn't stayed behind, he didn't leave with everyone.
Right.
Came with them,
not leaving with them.
Who he came with was Avalanche. Who he's leaving with, it appears to be Sephiroth.
Yeah.
It appears that Sephiroth's claim that Cloud is a puppet, at the very least, has presently borne out. That Cloud is, if not entirely responsible for everything that's going on right now, is at least a participant. Wittingly or unwittingly, I think, is to be debated. But he has stayed behind. Avalanche and Shinra are getting the hell out of Dodge on the airship, and these weapons of the planet have been unlocked. And Sephiroth, on top of all of this, now apparently has the black materia while physically being in the promised land, the site of the last meteoric disaster. So that seems bad.
Yeah, it's not good. It's definitely not good.
Yeah. And I know you played a tiny bit past this point, but this is roughly where I wanted you to stop, because I think it's a good natural stopping point before we embark on everything that's coming next. It's like a big cliffhanger, right? Like if last week was sort of like the big emotional tragedy, this is sort of like the, oh shit. Like this is sort of like the, oh God. Like everything that like we've been concerned with about Cloud has kind of come to this head. The world ending stakes have been heightened, and you know that the sky is falling, Zed, because like even Barrett's like, yeah, let's get on the ship with Shinra. You know, that's like how you know that everything has gone like to the absolute worst possible direction that it can go.
Yeah, we are in a dark and dangerous place in the world of the game, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I like you specifying of the game.
Yeah, definitely. Our world is great. We're in great shape.
The world outside your window. Well, speaking of which, when we start the next chapter, we will begin with the world outside their window, is something that we will deal with very, very, very quickly. And you're going to have a lot to do, both in terms of like actual stuff to do, as well as like the final push of this next podcast that we'll do, Zed, is very story driven, deeply story driven. We'll get some clarity on what the hell is going on with our guy Cloud Strife.
Okay.
I think it's about time that we finally got like a decisive answer, right? Feels like someone tell me what the hell is going on. we'll find out next week for sure.
Cool.
So play from where you left off, with Tifa and Barret being with Shinra, and end with some very important clarity on what's going on with Cloud.
Okay.
And it'll be really clear when you've reached that point. So that's next week. And then we've got one or two more big story portion podcasts beyond that, plus the side quests. But we're getting close.
We're
cruising.
Great.
We're on the airship now, Zed. So, you know, we're moving. Mm-hmm. We're moving with some speed.
In luxury.
Yeah.
Traveling in luxury.
Yeah, get a maraschino cherry and a shrimp ring. Kick it back with Rufus Shinra. All right. So that's what's coming up next. Zed, any lingering thoughts? Any final flags to plant in the ground for us to warm up next to?
Well, what I'm still curious about is that when Cloud went back to Nibelheim, everybody said that that fire incident didn't happen at all. Not right. just like you weren't there, and not just like you're crazy, what are you talking about, but actively like you're a liar, that didn't happen.
Right.
And I feel like that's still not resolved.
Yeah, I don't think he gets mega resolved. I think my interpretation of it, at least, is if Sephiroth and his clones are passing through and there's some sort of like reality warping thing that they're able to do, right? Like if Sephiroth is kind of able to glom onto these clones, how much is he able to like influence people in Nibelheim that they are off the mark on this stuff? I don't know. I don't think that it ever gets really fully articulated in a very satisfying way to me. I feel comfortable stating just like for the sake of clarity that like Nibelheim burned down for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stuff happened for sure. And I think my interpretation is the people of Nibelheim right now are somewhat under Sephiroth's influence.
Sort of like in WandaVision.
Yes.
Nibelheim exactly. is Westview.
Yeah. I think that that's a good one-to-one. I think that's fun. Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
I think we covered my other main theories thus far.
Yeah.
It's a lot to chew on.
We'll digest some stuff next week.
Okay.
So the good news is like, we'll get some answers. We got answers this week. We got like more questions that were produced as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like, what's up with Cloud? Why has he been acting this way? Who is he really? All of that, we will get concrete answers next week.
Great.
We will get like final answers next week.
Okay.
It'll be fun. It'll be great.
Excellent.
All right. Well, that'll be like a week for people in the real time. But Zed, I expect you and I are going to talk
in
like
days for us.
In like 3 or 4 days. Yeah. No, I love it. I think it's good. I think you crushing it at this pace is great. So we'll keep chugging. You'll have to get through some stuff that I know you're gonna be like, but I baked it into this part of the game because like, let's just yada yada through it.
Okay.
You gotta spend a lot of time with Cid.
We'll do it.
You'll survive. It'll be all right. all right, everyone. So much happening on Post Show Recaps beyond the FF7 podcasts, whether it's WandaVision or Lost or A Long Time to Go, the Star Wars podcasts that we're doing. Hang in there. The stand is wrapping up. And then there's tons of Dungeons and Dragons madness on the Discord. Zed can attest that it's been a lot of fun. Zed's gnome character, Rasklin. And my Warforged Juggernaut Barbarian, Arnold. Good friends. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, do you all want to play Dungeons & Dragons with me and Zed?
You
can do that.
You definitely do. It's a lot of fun.
You can do that. I'm talking to you, listener. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Sign up at the Discord level. Everyone's addicted to Dungeons and Dragons or a fictional casino. come and join
us. A few of you sick souls doing both somehow.
Yeah. There's other games you could play. There's Grace Leader leading us through the Brant Steels. There's Among Us every once in a while. Jackbox games. Jackbox
happened the other night, I think. Yeah. By the time this podcast drops, I will have just been on Post-Show Recaps Theater with you for the patrons talking about Labyrinth, which I'm very excited about at this point in time. I'm sure it will be great. So
yeah,
get on in. We're having so much fun. Like, I can't think of a better $10 a month you could spend, to be honest.
It's really fun. We're all having fun. And like, a lot of it is just like, I don't know, like daily digital hangouts. And lots of cool new friends to meet. If you like the hosts on the network, we're all super accessible and hanging out and having a good time. So worth investing if you haven't done it yet, but you've been considering it. So patreon.com/postshowrecaps. The way of the future. All right. More about Shinra. More about the weapons. Zed, you're about to find out all about huge materia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, get ready for some huge materia. Get ready to learn more about Cloud. Cloud Strife strikes back. What's going on? We will find out. Gonna be fun. We'll be back next week with more FF7. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.